flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If you weren't with us when we went 10-7 with a blowout loss in the playoffs the last 2 years, you better not be with us when we go 10-7 with a blowout loss in the playoffs next year, too. That sounds like the Steelers' philosophy. Except maybe it won't even include a playoff berth. And maybe it won't be 10-7. Maybe it will be 9-8. I think I've already decided for the rest of time, at least for the rest of Mike Tomlin's career, I will have 9-8 as my Steelers prediction going into every single season, because you know, by hook or by crook, this team will be 9-8 at worst. It's Donnie Football with you on 93.7 The Fan until 8:30 tonight. We have Pit Hoops following me. The Panthers host North Carolina. It's a big one at the Pete. We will get into that with George Michalowski around 8 o'clock. Joel Nelson is behind the glass. We have Joel's pick coming up at the end of the 7 p.m. hour. Joel will pick what he wants to talk about for that segment. The standard. The Steelers' way. It has been questioned by fans for a while now. And it is now being questioned by some Steelers legends. Ben Roethlisberger, James Harrison, as of late. Not that they were the quintessential guys off the field that tended to get away with some things that didn't help the Steeler way mantra a whole lot. But their words were still true with what they said last week. And the owner is doing nothing to refute that. Nothing seems like it's going to change, at least right now. But nothing major is going to change from this season to the next. Even after we were told to expect at least something of significance. And I don't mean not retaining a coach that didn't have his contract renewed. I know that Carl Dunbar, the defensive line coach, his name has been tossed around there. When it comes to the staff, Art Rooney, too, doesn't see an issue there. And he doesn't think it's necessary to add to said staff. He doesn't think the coaching staff is what is holding this team back. Now, sure, there are a plethora of different reasons. It's not just the coaching that is the issue. I'm not here to say that it is solely on coaching, but to not think it doesn't have an impact on why you aren't seeing the results that you want to be seeing. Art, pay attention a little bit to what is going on around the league. Hell, just look at the teams that are in the Super Bowl and try to tell me and try to tell everyone else in Steelers Nation that coaching doesn't matter. Tell me Andy Reid doesn't matter. By the time he's done, he and Patrick Mahomes could end up being the best quarterback coach duo of all time. An accolade we thought would not be reached after what Belichick and Brady accomplished. It is very much in question if that team's trajectory continues to go the way it has. A chance for that team to three-peat. Tell me that doesn't matter. Tell me Steve Spagnuolo doesn't matter. The Chiefs, who actually saw a time when they needed to make a defensive change. They lose the first AFC Championship game of Patrick Mahomes' career. They make a change at D coordinator. They bring in a guy who has always been a great DC, wasn't very successful as a head coach, but there are plenty of examples of that. And the man looks like the modern-day Dick LeBeau. He was the key coach on Sunday night. If you watched that game, the AFC Championship, just on that final drive alone, the things he dialed up against the Bills and Josh Allen, they never even saw that coming. Those are things we haven't seen here in years. Tell me that doesn't matter. What about Vic Fangio? His coaching doesn't matter. Philly, a team and an operation that I am very, very envious of, the Eagles. They were blown out in the wild card round last season by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It looked a lot like the usual Steelers playoff game. They were down early. At points in the game, they tried to look like they had some life, but not really. And they were promptly kicked right out of the postseason. After that, they promptly blew their coordinators and a few other assistants out of there. Brian Johnson, out. Replaced by Kellen Moore, who is now getting head coaching interviews. Sean Desai and Matt Patricia, out. Replaced by Vic Fangio, one of the greatest defensive minds the league has ever seen. That is true change, with a goal to get better. Not only are the coordinators safe, we know Terrell Austin will be back. I think Arthur Smith should be back. This isn't an attack on Arthur Smith. But Terrell Austin coming back. Everyone else is too, as long as they are still under contract, because we know they ain't going to get paid to not work for the Steelers. Speaking of the Eagles, What about learning something from their backup quarterback? And before you get up in arms, calm down. This is not a shot at Kenny Pickett. This is a shot at the Steelers' process. Because the owner of the team doesn't sound too worried or too shaken by how that entire thing went down.
You know, I think that obviously it's disappointing that that Kenny didn't work out to be our long-term quarterback here. And, you know, I'm not sure there's a lot to be learned from that. You know, we just have to look at the next opportunity and make sure we do a good job evaluating it, you know, the next time around.
You didn't learn anything from that? Nothing? Nothing at all? That's damning on yourself as an owner. It's damning on your scouting department, your GM, your coach, everybody down the line. How was nothing learned about that entire process? Nothing. You know what I think that means? I think it means that Art did have a lot of say on that pick. Now, it doesn't leave other people out of the blame there, because I do think it is a collab effort, and I do think that Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin loved that player, in this case, Kenny Pickett. I think they loved that player too, but Art especially did, or else maybe he's open to admitting more of the mistake. Or maybe he doesn't want to throw everybody else under the bus. And he didn't like the pick. However, I think he had more say on that than we'll know. Otherwise, maybe he would have said something that was gained from it, a learning experience, but apparently not. So where do they go in regards to the game's most important position? Because the options out there are not very fruitful. I have said multiple times, I think Justin Fields should see more time here. It should not be Russell Wilson. Got named to the Pro Bowl, by the way, today, because the Pro Bowl, of course, is still a very serious accolade. The age and the price tag both favor Fields. He's not even 26 years old yet. He's going to be a lot cheaper, significantly cheaper, than Russell Wilson.
I think they're both capable quarterbacks, and my preference would be to sign one of them. So that'll be the priority, and I think that will give us the best opportunity to move forward. Obviously, we'll be looking in the draft as well. We've got a whole quarterback room to fill, and so there's jobs open in there, and so I wouldn't be surprised if we look in the draft as well, either this year or next, and so that's got to be the priority.
You heard him mention the draft in that answer as well about the future of the quarterback position. And yeah, within the next 2 years, it probably should be addressed in a serious way. If I had to pick one of the years, I would go with next, the 2026 draft. Two reasons there. One, it is supposed to be a better quarterback class. This quarterback class, it seems like outside of the top two guys, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, there's a little bit of 2022 class in there. Evaluators, scouts, that they don't really see long-term franchise quarterbacks outside of the top two guys. Now, those people have been wrong, sure, because it seems like the only franchise quarterback from that 22 draft was the one that was selected last, Brock Purdy. So be wary of that. Maybe if a guy slips, you take a dude as a flyer in the mid to late rounds. I don't hate that option. That's always out there. But it seems like 26 will have the better crop of players. The other reason, as corny as this sounds, you know it's right up the Steelers' alley. The 2026 NFL draft is here. It is in Pittsburgh. And I think Art Rooney will love being able to draft a quarterback while the draft is in his team's home city. Because like I said, unless one of the couple of guys right outside of that top two, because those two dudes will go early, Ward and Sanders. If some guy slips late, yeah. You know, take a flyer on a guy in rounds 6 or 7, I don't care. Or I guess it would have to be 5 or 7 due to the Justin Fields trade. But I think he would love getting to draft a quarterback when the draft was in town. Now, nothing says you can't take one in each, and maybe in 26 you address it as a higher priority, as in this guy is going to be our franchise player. Nothing stops you from doing that. But for the sake of next season, I feel like Rooney and some others in the building, we know Arthur Smith for certain, prefer Justin Fields. Now, Pony brought up something during today's show, and you can go back and listen to that using the free Odyssey app and the rewind function from 2 to 6. Pony brought up that there are still plenty of sympathizers / believers in Russell Wilson. I don't really feel good about that, but I hope that the fandom of Justin Fields wins out among those two. Art said age of a quarterback does matter, at least a little bit. He said it is something that has to be considered. Wilson is in his late 30s, and he is not getting any better. He has reached his peak as an NFL player. It was a great peak. I'll give him that. The dude is a borderline Hall of Famer. He might even be a Hall of Famer. But he's not that player anymore. Fields is 25 years old. He will be 26 in March. He's young. He's extremely mobile. Mike Tomlin likes that. Arthur Smith certainly likes that. He may not show more than flashes, but at least with his age, it is worth taking a chance on next season.
Obviously, you know, we had a winning record. He handled the situation, I think, as a young quarterback who wants to come in and learn and grow, and I think he did grow, and I think he does have that mindset that he wants to get better. So I think that, you know, that makes you feel like, you want to potentially work with him again in the future.
That tells me he likes Fields. And I think the coaching staff or the important ones would concur. It seems like everyone who has talked has had pretty high praise for Fields, and they all reference how well he handled everything when Wilson became the starter. He came in and took over the job. You know, he took it away from a guy who was 4-2 in 6 starts. Did he look like the MVP of the league? No. Not by any stretch. But he was playing the best football, the cleanest football of his career. And he had that taken away. And he handled that with a lot of maturity. And I think that goes a long way. Plus, I brought this up to the guys earlier. Not that it should be some sort of player vote, That shouldn't just dictate how they go about things at quarterback. But I would really love to see the results if you polled every single player, anonymously, of course, in that building, or maybe the 51 other guys besides Wilson and Fields, which quarterback they would prefer run it back with next season. I'm guessing here, but something tells me that Justin Fields would be the guy they pick. I have the feeling that Justin Fields would get the majority vote on that. I don't know about a landslide or three quarters of the vote, but I think he gets over 50% of the vote. What about one of their star players? We made our bingo cards yesterday before the presser, and Art definitely helped us cross off a few boxes. He got into a little bit of what I half-jokingly predicted him to say. He did mention a few of those points. He mentioned a few others as well. But one of them, one of our boxes, was in regards to George Pickens. And we expected him to take the route of, well, George had an up and down season, to say the least. He didn't quite say that, but let's check out what he did have to say about number 14's future.
You know, I think that every team seems to have one or two guys in that room that are, you know, you have to manage them correctly. So I still think George has enough talent that we've got to, you know, try to work and see if we can get him to reach his, you know, fulfill the talent that he really has. You know, who knows if we can get there? We'll see. But when you have guys that are as talented as some of the guys you're probably thinking of, you try to work with them and you know, have them help you be successful.
Have you guys had any thoughts about, he's entering last year as rookie deal, have you guys had any talks yet about whether you would look towards extending him?
No, we haven't gotten into talking about his contract yet.
You heard the question there about his contract. He said we haven't gotten into talking about it. What else did he say there? Who knows? We'll see. Maybe I'm hearing it wrong, but it doesn't sound like there is a ton of confidence that George Pickens will be a long-term Steeler. In fact, I'm not sure he's on the field with the team next season. I think it's better than a 50-50 chance that he has played his final game in black and gold. I said right around the time the season ended, and I will say it again now, I think wide receiver is the position that sees a pretty big overhaul this offseason. 2 years ago, it was inside linebacker. Last season, it was quarterback. This time around, I think it's wide receiver. I think there are two guys that are safe: Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. One because he actually came on a little bit. I thought Calvin Austin had a nice season for himself. And the other one is only safe because he just got drafted in 2024. But I think he's definitely in the doghouse of Mike Tomlin. I think that position sees a makeover before this team is on the field in week one of 2025. I'm not going to hold my breath on T. Higgins or Chris Godwin or a player of that ilk, but it will be different. They do have to address that position in free agency. They absolutely have to, and I mean with a legitimate player. I don't think we should expect them to pull in T. Higgins. I don't think it's going to happen. I would be very excited if it did. Just not going to put that as part of my expectation. another wide receiver should be drafted within the first two rounds in April. Egbuka, Golden, Burden. Those are some names you'll start to see thrown around the Steelers a whole lot if you haven't already. But beyond two guys, and maybe they keep around a Ben Skoranek type for special teams purposes, I see that room being a whole lot different by August and September. Art was also asked yesterday why he still has so much faith in Mike Tomlin as the right guy to lead this team.
When you look at how many games Mike has won in this league, you don't win that many games if you're not a good coach. And, you know, I know he's frustrated like we all are in terms of not being able to take that next step. But, you know, we still feel good about him being our, you know, the leader, and, you know, still think he has the strengths that he always had in terms of, you know, being able to lead a team. So, you know, the other side of the coin is when you look at the fact that we have six, seven, eight teams a year that turn their coaches over, you know, it's when you have a good coach, you just try to keep building with them.
I have a prediction on this, and maybe I'm burying the lead with this one. Maybe I should have opened with this take. I think unless we see a true turnaround, this will be Mike Tomlin's final contract. And I know I joke all the time because it really is true. It's his job until he doesn't want it to be anymore. But I think by the time it reaches the end of this contract, it'll probably be about that time. If things don't turn around in a big way, if we continue to see 9-8 or 10-7 with their heads kicked off in the playoffs, they don't go up any sort of ladders, the playoff streak continues with losses, I think this will be Tomlin's final contract, and it won't be renewed when it's over. And along with that, Art Rooney too will pass power down to Danny Rooney after that same season. Now, we're a couple of years away from that, so it's not like it's happening right now, but I think Art Rooney too and Mike Tomlin will ride off into the Steelers sunset together. We won't know if that one comes true for a few seasons now, but I don't think it's out of the question. Rooney is 72. Mike Tomlin is 52. They will both be another age up by the time next season gets going. It is pretty clear that Art wants nothing to do with parting ways with Mike Tomlin. He didn't have interest in whatever the Bears were offering. He told Bob Pompeiani as much. The phone call was very short. It didn't sound like it got past the basic pleasantries that a phone call has at the beginning. He certainly will never fire Mike Tomlin. And I think he's kind of doing bad business on himself, but at that point, he may not care. Because now you could get true value for this guy. Or maybe after next season, you could get real value for your head coach. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think just the contract will expire. They will have a talk where they mutually agree that, hey, you know, this has been a hell of a run for both of us. That's all she wrote. I think Rooney steps aside and Tomlin walks away. I think it all happens together. I think we're only two or three seasons away from that. So it might be a little while until we get there. 412-928-9370. Does Art Rooney give you confidence in the Steelers' future? 412-928-9370. What gives you hope about the Steelers right now, if anything? 412-928-9370. What would be your biggest change if you were running the show? 412-928-9370. I want to hear from you on this coming up next. You can also hit us up at that same number on the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Your calls next. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan, do you want to win a trip to Vegas or have a chance to win a trip to Vegas for you and three guests plus 20 grand to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships? All you have to do, download and listen to The Fan on the free Odyssey app. Listen each day on the app for a minimum of 1 hour and you'll receive an entry. It's that simple. The national contest runs through Sunday, February 23, so get the free Odyssey app now. Listen to The Fan for 1 hour each day, and you will have a chance at winning this ultimate prize pack. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan until 8:30 tonight. Pitt Hoops starts at 9, pregame coverage at 8:30. The Panthers hosting North Carolina, a biggie at the Pete. How are you feeling after the Art Rooney press conference yesterday? How much confidence does he give you in the future of the Steelers? 412-928-9370. Does he give you any hope for the Steelers at all? 412-928-9370. And if you had one big change to make, I think I could guess at what it is for most of you. What would it be? 412-928-9370. Nathan kicks us off. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, Donnie. How you doing, my man?
Good. What's on your mind?
So, I don't know. Just kind of after listening to yesterday's press conference, I'm just as discouraged as I was before it. I just don't know that Mr. Rooney is the man that's going to bring us a Lombardi at this point. I just think we're gonna make more mediocre free agency moves and re-sign one of the two quarterbacks that we had last year to more money than they deserve, and we're going to go right back to 9 wins, unfortunately, is the way it looks for me. Maybe I'm wrong in that view. That's just the way I look at it. I just don't see us going and making a splash in the offseason that they need to get over the hump.
Who do you want back at quarterback?
to me, if you could get Justin Fields back 2 years, 25-ish million, I don't think that would be a bad deal. I don't think giving Russ 3 years, 100, like they're saying, is realistic. I just don't know that – I think that's just putting off the inevitable. I think we're going to have to suck for a year to get to where we want to be. Like, we were, I want to say, 6-10. I was young, but I want to say we were 6-10 the year we got Ben.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think to be able to get another caliber guy like that, we're going to have to go through a down year. Kind of like Philly a few years ago. They had 4 or 5 wins and then reloaded, and here they are.
Yeah, Nathan, I agree with a lot of what you said there. I think the Fields plan, it sounds really good. It also may be more difficult than what we are letting on. Yes, he is the guy that was just in the building, and maybe he does not want to see another new offense, another playbook, another set of coaches, because he's already been through how many in his still pretty short NFL career. So it may be more comfortable for him to come back to where he just was, where he was playing not great, but not bad football. Pretty clean football for the most part for Justin Fields. Arthur Smith seemed to like him, work well with him. But it's not out of the question that another team has interest there. He should have more of a market than Russell Wilson does. I mean, Russell Wilson is getting to the point where he's over the hill. He's over 35. He can put together decent box scores, but they're all kind of phony and fraudulent. I'm way out on him. I would be legitimately pissed off if the Steelers brought back Russell Wilson, especially for the price tag that it may include. It was different this season because they were paying the guy almost nothing. They got him at the veteran minimum. You know, it was worth taking a try on that and seeing what would happen. But if it's like 3 for 100 or even 3 for 90, get out of here. It's much smarter and much more advantageous to go with the younger guy. And not that he's the answer either, but at least go with the younger option in that sense. And yes, Nathan, they were 6-10 in 2003, and then they drafted 11th overall, and they got Ben Roethlisberger out of Miami of Ohio. They kind of lucked out that the Chargers ended up taking Eli Manning, despite him not wanting to go there and his dad not wanting him to go there. The Giants and their GM, Ernie Accorsi, he kind of pulled a fast one. He said, all right, well, I will draft Phillip Rivers, but then we got to make this trade. Because Accorsi has since gone on record saying that if they weren't willing to do the deal, he would have taken Roethlisberger, which means the Steelers, maybe they take Phillip Rivers, maybe they don't even take a first-round quarterback there. So a couple of odd things from that 04 draft is how Pittsburgh ended up with Big Ben. 412-928-9370. John is in Greensburg. What's up, John?
How you doing tonight, Donnie?
Good. What do you got for me?
So I'm listening. You know, I'm a barber. I work. We have these conversations all the time, and I'm a Raiders fan. So it's kind of hard to hear, you know, the debate on Tomlin and, you know, who do we have at quarterback. I see the Steelers play all the time. You know, obviously I live here, so I watch them all the time. And you guys aren't that far away, man, to have a coach that has never had a losing season. I think sometimes Steelers fans are a little spoiled. You know, what's the flip side of not having Tomlin? You trade him away to the Bears or let him go. Who do you take? Mike McCarthy or you take a chance on a coordinator that has never had a head coaching position like a Ben Johnson? And how many of those work out of the six, seven coaching positions? You know, you get a coordinator, maybe one of them work. How lucky are the Steelers going to be without Tomlin? And then where do you go from there if it doesn't work out? Are we just replacing guy after guy like we, the Raiders are? And then, you know, the quarterback position, he played Russ over Justin, and I think that was the bad move. We know Justin is the future for the Steelers, and you know, he went 4-2, and then they gave Russ the job. So I think that's where he failed this season. But overall, man, Tomlin's the guy. You guys are this year, if you had a receiver, if they go out and spend the money on not Mike Williams, but a quality receiver, maybe you go deeper into the playoffs and it's not just one and done like it has been.
Yeah, John, maybe. And I appreciate the call. And, you know, always love when somebody from Greensburg calls in, since that's pretty much my hometown. Yeah, from a Raiders viewpoint, from a Raiders fan viewpoint, we do look spoiled. We look spoiled as Steeler fans because, hey, we're always in the conversation, right? We're always around the playoffs. We get in, but then we get killed. It's an ugly scene. The Steelers haven't won a playoff game in almost a decade. The Raiders are one of the few teams that goes further back than that. And even a few seasons ago, they had the Bengals, who eventually got to the Super Bowl. If you recall that wild card round, Derek Carr and the Raiders had the Bengals against the ropes in that first round game. They have shown more fight in a recent playoff game than any Steelers team has in the last 10 years. And then to the point about Mike Tomlin, well, if they got rid of them, the classic question, who would they even get to replace him? A no-name coordinator who was never a head coach? Here's something that's interesting about that. Who was Mike Tomlin before the Steelers hired him as head coach? He was a young defensive coordinator who had never been a head coach. And they hired him. And yes, things were very, very good. He has put together a career that will get him into the Hall of Fame. I am pretty confident in saying that. But let's not act like he was some hot-to-trot huge name when Bill Cowher resigned. And hey, the Steelers just got the top coordinator on the market, Mike Tomlin. No. He was basically one of these no-name coordinators that had never been a head coach. They hired him. And I'd say things did go pretty well. 412-928-9370 if you want to join in on the fun. Follow us on Twitter as well. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I want to keep taking your calls on this. Art Rooney's State of the Steelers address, your thoughts on it. I want more from you at 412-928-9370. Jeff Hathorn will join us a little bit after 7 o'clock. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Donnie Football with you until 8:30. Tonight, Pitt Hoops is on the air, the Panthers hosting North Carolina. Joel Nelson is with me behind the glass. Joel's pick coming up in about an hour. We have Jeff Hathorn joining us in, I want to say, about 10 minutes. But yet again, it's hard to tell what time it is in here because the clock that has been broken for about 3 weeks now has still not been addressed. I think that's a little bit important to what we do. So hopefully at some point we're able to fire that baby up so we know what time it is here. Because the two clocks that I am looking at, one of them says 6:54, the other one says 7. And my inkling is that we are right in between that. It's about 3 minutes on both sides. So it's about 6:57. Right now. But I would hate to just look up and see a clock correct down to the second. That would be pretty nice to have. 412-928-9370. Taking your calls on the Art Rooney State of the Steelers address. 412-928-9370. Matt is in Lancaster. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Donnie, how's it going?
Good, good. What do you got?
So, just a couple things. I've been thinking about this since yesterday when Art's comments first came out. Just him talking in general, to me, it's kind of like a tacit admission of, you know, just that the Steelers brand overall is watered down. Like, you know, the whole the last guy that called in about the coaching and the whole million-dollar question of who would you get to replace. Like, you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't you think your brand, everything you mean to the NFL, you would attract the best of the best to want to come to you? It's just we're going through the motions, and, you know, I don't know if it was Art.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. You hear that sounder. It is a Hawk report from our very own Jeff Hathorn, who is in studio. Pleasantly surprised.
What's up,
I was texting Jeff, asking him if he was going to join on the video or the phone. I walk in here after heating up my dinner, and there's Jeff.
Yeah, it looks really good.
He had some leftover pizza. You know, Sarah doesn't really care for leftover pizza, so I get to...
Wait, what?
I get all the benefit there.
I mean, that is like, that's maybe quality three for Sarah. You get all the leftover pizza.
I know. Like, at first, like, I think, man, you're crazy. You don't like leftover pizza. But then I think, well, that means I get all the leftover pizza and there's no argument. So it's kind of it's a big win for me.
Leslie has to go through the whole procedure of warming it up in the oven. Like, I can do microwave for 45 seconds.
Yeah, that's all I do. Yeah. I mean, I also like cold pizza too, but I might be a little bit of a maniac for that one.
It's got all the breakfast foods right in it.
Yeah. So Jeff Hathorn, he is on the Fan Hotline in person, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jeff, I put this out there into the universe, a long-term Steelers prediction that Art Rooney II and Mike Tomlin will exit together. When Tomlin's contract is up after the 27 season, I think he walks away, and I think Art also walks away. And I know the wording I use there is a little bit confusing. Art is not selling the team. He will simply be passing down his ownership duties
to Mark Cuban.
To the next in line, which I know if that's Danny Rooney, he's still young. He would be very, very young when he took over. I don't even know if he'd be 40 years old by the time we hit 2027. But maybe youth is something that these guys need.
Well, there's an offensive coordinator just hired of what is 26 or 27?
28, yeah.
28.
Yeah, younger than me.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, I don't think that's – I mean, there's enough around Dan, young Dan, that I think – and he's been around – it's not like he's new to the organization and just brought in like, hey, you got to learn all this. I mean, he grew up with all of it, and including his grandfather, who was a tremendous football mind. And I think Art cares. He's not a charismatic speaker, which really works against him in these moments because people want to hear like passion in his voice. Yeah. That's not him. And I don't think it's because, I mean, people think, oh, he doesn't care. He cares, but you don't hear it. I think Dan is a little bit more charismatic. I mean, I think Art always approached it with the law background. Like, I'm not going to get too worked up. Like, I don't want to show my hand. Like he's very calculated in what he's thinking. His father wasn't always like that. His father could be spontaneous, and he could raise his voice and get upset at things more so than his son.
And it seems like the Dan Rooneys are a bit better than the Art Rooneys in the family, at least.
I think they're more football-centric.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least when it comes to being football guys about things.
And really, I mean, there is stuff that Art said that I still can't believe that he's thinking that way. But it's not a lack of caring, and it's not like he doesn't understand. I think he really firmly, this year, more so than the last few years, understands what Roethlisberger meant and how they need to find that quarterback above all else, how it's their top priority. You would hear in the past, we got to get our run game going as a top priority or strengthen our defense as a top priority. At least this time, you heard him say quarterback, which is blatantly obvious, but sometimes it isn't as much when you're right in the middle of it.
What's your take on what he said yesterday about quarterback when it came to, we would like to have one of the two guys back with us? Who do you think that would be?
Okay. But I think Justin has to say yes.
Yeah, that's where I think the
worry. I don't think that's a slam dunk that he would come back here. What? Not necessarily because of money, but he's going to look at opportunities, and the Browns might afford him a good opportunity. And again, he could sign with any of these teams, and they could go draft a quarterback. The Raiders might have interest. Everybody thinks it's Russ, but maybe Pete Carroll has interest in Justin. I don't know that the Giants necessarily would, but maybe there is somewhere else. And I realize he didn't have a big market at the end of last year. And I'm not saying there's a ton of teams clamoring for him. But I don't know that he would want to come back and hand the ball off and play a conservative offense week after week after week.
Yeah, like I have the fear that he could say, like, well, up yours. I don't like how the offense is run here. And but then again, he was playing maybe not his best at his peak. Like, he had some really good games for the Bears. He had some really ugly games for the Bears, too. He was playing his cleanest football in the 6 weeks he was the Steelers' starting quarterback.
Right, which I credit him for, but I also would like to see less of that, because he's taking more chances. And that's more on Mike. Like, allow him to be him. Not recklessly, but aggressively. Like, allow him to go make plays. Don't say, hey, we'll just settle for six field goals. Like, we just don't lose the game. Because that seems to be their mindset. Now, they don't like when you say that, but it's true. Watch them. When they play offensively more not to lose, even in that last game when they were burning the boats.
Mm-hmm.
They ran a flea flicker. What else did they do that was...
Justin Fields was on the field for two snaps.
Insanely creative. It wasn't. But what else Art said that makes me think it'll be more Justin if he decides he wants to come back here, is he said age is a factor.
Yeah, see, that was the big one for me.
Right.
Where he said, well, that has to be taken into consideration. Right. That has me thinking, okay, then
and
Justin Fields
is
the target here.
They don't want to run two systems. So if they bring back Justin... The next guy they go after is probably Mariota to be the backup.
Jeff, that was the exact name I thought of. Now, it seems like he's thought of pretty highly in Washington, and like they love him being behind Jaden Daniels.
Maybe now after a year, they'd be willing to, maybe they want to go somewhere else and spend a little bit more money to strengthen a certain position. They feel like Jaden's been around long enough, we could get somebody else. And it's drawing a line because of the relationship, obviously, with Arthur and the fact that the Steelers, you know, would need an upgrade at that position. And if Marcus looks at it, well, hey, Justin could fail and maybe I'd get another shot. Whereas in Washington, barring injury, he's never going to get a shot to start a game.
Yeah. The time that he showed to, you mentioned like the aggressive nature of his play, not necessarily reckless. That second half in Indianapolis. Now, I get that the Colts probably weren't playing, you know, a defense that was uber aggressive either, but man, he definitely showed those flashes in that game. Even though the first half didn't look good, there were still fumble concerns.
Right.
You could kind of see what the dude can do.
Was an issue.
Yeah, that was just an overall communication issue there. But I mean, he at least provides excitement. I'm not saying that he's going to be the answer. I don't think he is. If you had to ask me, like, with, you know, all the money in the world on the line, I don't think he's the Steelers' answer. He at least makes the most sense for next season, without question, over Russell Wilson.
Unless you trade all the way up and you're looking at Shador or Cam, because those seem to be the two most likely to have a pro career that could start early. And even with those two, you have some questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know, you know, there are some other guys, Jackson Dart and Kyle McCord and Will Howard. And God, if you draft any of those guys in the first round, you should be ashamed. I mean, really? I mean, come on. This team, you could go for a Trey Lance, but you're just basically doing Justin Fields again.
Justin Fields light.
Right. Just pour into him. Allow him to try. Forget about, as crazy as this sounds, your role next year is not to win games. It's to find a quarterback. And if you find the quarterback, the winning games are going to come. But if you try to eke out wins and get to 9 or 10 and sneak into the playoffs and then get your tail kicked again, where have you taken the franchise to where you can win the next championship? But if you pour into a quarterback, and even if it goes horribly, you're going to be in position to get one the next year, and you could solve that problem. Because look at Washington. 4 wins to NFC championship game. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they had a quarterback. Period. I know that other things changed there.
But that's a big reason why.
It's
like,
the
if it was
reason.
Mariota playing the whole season, maybe they win 6 games instead of 4. I don't know.
I mean, it's the reason that they were in the NFC championship game.
Jeff Hathorn is with us in studio on 93.7 The Fan. Jeff, what were some of your other big takeaways from the Rooney presser?
Yeah, I didn't like the how they listen, you need to run the ball. But to think that you could get in the Super Bowl or be Philadelphia, like that's still a ways away. And Philadelphia, like, is so much better at every offensive position. Wide receiver, offensive line, quarterback, and Saquon isn't even comparable to Najee Harris. I mean, we were talking before the segment started. You know, Saquon had 11 100-yard games this year. In his 4-year career, Najee had 9. Now, you're not going forward with Najee, but who's to say that Jalen Warren could last a 17-game mm-hmm. season? And I think, I mean, Gainwell is a guy to me. If I'm looking at running backs to be a part of a committee, Gainwell is a guy that I would like to see in a Steeler uniform. It's his 4th year. He's going to be a free agent. He knows he's not going to get looks, you know, behind Barkley. But he would have a chance to maybe be a starter. Like, that was a guy that intrigued me, not just for what stuff he's done in the playoffs, but watching him against the Steelers. But again, it's a really good offensive line. That's just, it's so much, everything's so much better. So to say, that's nice to say, like, well, look, Philadelphia can run it. Yes, they can, but Jalen Hurts can also have the threat of beating you deep. So if you stack the line like the Steelers did, they can beat you with a pass, where I don't think that's the case at all with what the Steelers have on offense right now.
Yeah, they're basically wannabes. Like, they can say all they want about wanting to be the Eagles, but the Eagles actually go about their business how teams today should. Like, they are an organization I am envious of. Their whole operation.
Yep.
Owner all the way down. They got the best GM in football by a mile. You know, people don't even really care for their head coach. The guy was on the hot seat midway through the season. You know, maybe you don't have to have the best head coach out there. The fact is, the coaching staff is great. Both coordinators are great. He allows those coordinators to coordinate, do their jobs, and they are just so good all over the field. Like, you think of the teams that played this weekend, and out of the 4, you'd probably argue that Jalen Hurts, third or fourth best quarterback, the way they were playing, he was 4th. He was the 4th best quarterback that played over the weekend. But at almost every other position, you would pick the Eagles. Running back, you'd pick the Eagles. Offensive line, receiver, defensive line. I don't know, maybe at linebacker, even though Zach Bond is having a, you know, career year with Philly, you would argue that they have better inside linebackers. Secondary, I think it's easily the Eagles.
Did you say receivers?
Yeah. I mean, receivers without question.
And that's the one that people don't – they see the rushing, but they're able to rush because the receivers can get downfield. And the receivers are able to get downfield because they're – like, it's the perfect blend. But it's not that the Steelers are 1 or 2 or 3 players away. Maybe Broderick Jones going to the left side and Troy Faltano on the right – is going to be a great combination that's going to kickstart this offensive line with a really good center in the middle. But Philly has 2 of the top 5 centers in the league, or top 5 tackles in the league right now. And that keys an offensive line that's why they're able to do some of the things they do. So to say that you're just going to be Philadelphia, I mean, listen, Kansas City had to run it at times to close out the game. And Pacheco's a nice, like if the Steelers had a 3-headed monster like that, that could be their running game, but they need to find someone. They're not going to find Mahomes, but they need to find somebody that's a franchise quarterback. The only way you don't win with the franchise quarterback is everything else is outstanding, and yet Jalen Hurts is still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a lesser quarterback than Hurts, I think Philadelphia's at home. They're not looking at a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think Hurts is a better player than what he gets credit. Like, I feel like people actually dog him a good bit. Like, they act like he's outright not a good player.
14 touchdown runs.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is a good player. Like, no debate for me. But there are a surprising amount of people that just don't even think the guy's good.
But even for him to get there, they have to have all this around him. And he's still pretty good himself.
Yes. Like, if he is on the Steelers roster, they're probably finishing in the same spot. I don't know. Maybe they win one of these wild card games.
Probably.
I don't know, but they're probably in the same spot.
Maybe a little bit better. Maybe a little bit better because I think his legs create a little bit of it. And remember, he only had 14 games, and he rushed for 600-plus yards and the 14 touchdowns and threw for nearly 3,000 in just 14 games. So he still could bring it that way, but the Philly comparison is a tough one just because they're just stat. They've done a great job. I mean, they really have. And, you know, you have windows, and Philly created a window that could last for a little while here.
Yeah,
it has. I mean, they've been good. They've been serious contenders for, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah, that's what's so impressive about them and also so infuriating about the Steelers is that they haven't been afraid of change. They fired Andy Reid when they felt like things were getting stale, not having the fear of, hey, this guy could go on to have success elsewhere. And he has. I mean, the man, he could have wiped his time in Philadelphia completely off of his resume. He's a Hall of Famer for what has happened in Kansas City. But I don't feel like the Eagles, I'm sure there's a minority of fans that say, like, well, we should have never fired Andy Reid. But they have gotten back to 3 Super Bowls. They've won one. One is still to be determined. They have not been afraid to make the actual changes that, yeah, the Steelers can talk about all they want. Oh, well, we want to be the Eagles. But they weren't afraid to change head coaches. Last season, they got blown out in the wild card round. They fired both coordinators. They hired 2 really good ones, a hot head coaching candidate as the offensive coordinator and one of the best defensive coordinators in the game's history. Like, they are making the moves that need to be made. And, like, it's just talk is cheap. Like, okay, we want to be like the Eagles. Then take action as if you are the Eagles, if you want to be them so badly.
Well, and I think as much as Tomlin is to blame, I think the philosophy to me is what is as much to blame for Mike and not allowing his offenses to try to move into a new decade and the way the NFL is and just playing that game of hanging on instead of trying to find answers at certain positions. But they've also not drafted well. Way too many, and it goes back to the end of Colbert's regime, way too many first-round busts. I mean, how many first-rounders are impact players with this team? I mean, Broderick Jones, depending on how he does on the left side, mm-hmm. he might be one of those guys. You don't pick up the option on Najee Harris. You traded Kenny Pickett. You know, and then before that, you're talking about Devin Bush and guys of that ilk, which are just, I mean, I could go through a lot more names that are as depressing.
They have not had an all-pro player drafted since 2017, and that was T.J. Watt. Now, I understand being a first-team all-pro player, that's tough to come by in the league. That means you are basically the very best or top 2 at your position. But they've had guys that, okay, they've been starters here and there, but I'm going to be thinking back to teams when I'm in my 50s and 60s, almost like when I see if my dad can remember all of the cruddy teams of the 80s that he warned me about this, by the way. He said when Ben's done, this is going to be that, like what I went through with Bradshaw.
And Donnie, that's when I was growing up.
We called those the dark ages.
Oh, I mean, Mark Malone and Scott Campbell and David Woodley.
Except it's even worse now because
Bubby was the best thing ever.
Because those guys actually won playoff games and got AFC Championship. O'Donnell got to a Super Bowl. Like, quarterback is so much more important than what it was then. It's even worse now. They feel so far behind the eight ball because they don't have, like, an alien at that position.
But you know what would be amazing? If they find that quarterback, you'll be amazed on how much of the other stuff will go away or brighten up or you won't focus on because the quarterback just makes it better. Those teams that Ben was on, they weren't perfect teams. You know, some of those lines that they won with were not great.
The line that won Super Bowl 43, I still say, is the worst offensive line to ever win a Super Bowl.
But Ben made it work.
Yep.
You didn't complain about it because Ben found a way to make it work. And I look back, too, and I'm thinking, I think Ben won a team MVP maybe like 3 times. And I look back now and I think he should have won like 14 or 15 times. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, Harrison's 1 year and... 05, whatever that was. His
08 when it was when he won the.
Sorry, Troy maybe 1 year. AB maybe over Ben 1 year. Other than that, he should have won it every year. I mean, because no one, not TJ, not Cam, not Harrison, impacts a game more than a franchise quarterback.
Jeff, I will let you get along with your night. You're going to go down to the Pitt game.
Yep. See, Pony's going to be there, so we're going to hang out and watch. Pitt, Carolina.
He's got to get out of there at like halftime, though. He's coming back to do the sports call, he said.
Maybe he'll just do it on Zoom. Don't tell them yet.
how are you feeling about that game?
Carolina's beatable, and this is a game you got to have because it's a Carolina team that has some flaws. You got to get this one at home. I mean, this is one you need to get.
It feels like this is a win they could have really – even though it's North Carolina in a down year, it's still a blue blood. And I don't care what anybody says. The committee takes those wins more into account no matter how those teams are.
Let's put it this way.
Like they will see, well, Pitt beat North Carolina.
Right.
It's not the same North Carolina, but they beat North Carolina.
I'll tell you this. If it was Carolina that's fifth and not Pitt, do you think they get in the NCAA tournament?
Oh,
Carolina
absolutely.
Carolina still has that.
Yeah.
You know, and people like to see it. They understand. I mean, Carolina's not bad. It's just they haven't put it all together. I don't know if they will, and this is a good time. I mean, they had a miracle win against Boston College at home. So you're going to get them. This is the time to get them and kind of get yourself on a little bit of a roll. Get, you know, start stacking wins and get back to where you can put yourself into NCAA tournament talk to where you're not looking around behind you to see what might happen.
Yeah, I think that's a win tonight that could like put them pretty firmly back in there, which is nice. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thanks,
have fun at the game. Jeff Hathorn, check out his stuff at 937thefan.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, the Pirates made a move today. Don't get too excited, though. We'll be right back. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Do you want a chance to win a trip to Vegas for you and 3 guests plus $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first 2 rounds of the College Basketball Championship? All you have to do, download and listen to The Fan on the free Odyssey app. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour. And you receive an entry. It is that simple. The national contest runs through Sunday, February 23. So get the free Odyssey app now. Listen to The Fan for 1 hour each day, and you'll have a chance at winning the ultimate prize. Joel, I got Joel Nelson behind the glass, Donnie Football with you for about another hour on The Fan, a little bit less than an hour. Pitt Hoops at 9 o'clock tonight, pregame coverage with Cale Berger and the crew at 8:30. Joel, grab your lawn chair, grab your cooler, and try to get a good spot along Federal Street as soon as possible. The Pirates have signed Adam Frazier. If you're asking yourself, that Adam Frazier, the answer is yes. The very same Adam Frazier that was drafted by the Buccos back in 2013. That Adam Frazier, who was an all-star with the Buccos back in 2021, when he hit .324, the OPS was .836, the OPS plus was .126. His best season by far. It was a great year. He had 28 doubles with the Pirates before they traded him to San Diego. They got Jack Sawinski back in that deal. Joel, pop quiz, do you know another player they got back in that deal who is no longer eligible to play Major League Baseball?
Oh, that guy, yeah. Tucapita Marcano. Yep. How about that?
And now they bring it back full circle, baby. They got Adam Frazier back here. The man who batted .202 last season. His OPS was .576. His OPS plus was .63. I guess he'll fit right in. Hell, he's probably your opening day starting right fielder. Would be hard to be second base because there's like 9 second basemen now on the roster. Last season was the worst of his career by far, by pretty much every single metric that can be measured. Last season was the worst for Adam Frazier. His WAR was .3. A season before that, it was 1.7 in Baltimore. With the Pirates in 2021, it was at an even 3. He had a couple other pretty steady Eddie seasons with the Buccos. 2017, 2018, 2019. He had some good seasons, for sure. But we are quite a bit removed from 2017, 2018, 2019. The Pirates just signed a guy who is over 32 years old, who was pretty awful last season in Kansas City. And pretty much everything for him was a career low. Home runs he had 4 of. That's not quite his career low, but it is close. It is close. He had 3 a couple of seasons ago in Seattle. And he had 2 his rookie season, but that was only 66 games back in 2016. The amount of good PR that this organization could have by just signing one legitimate player, just one, literally just one player of real, honest to God, good status in Major League Baseball. Not even a great player, just a good player, a legit good player. That would have had this town buzzing in a downtime of Pittsburgh sports. And they gave us Adam Frazier. They've added a few bullpen arms. That's fine. They needed some addition there, absolutely. Tim Mazza, they signed last night, the Allentown native, Millersville University. A quick pop for them. And a former Blue Jay, because of course he was, because 75% of the players that Ben Cherington will bring in either played in Boston or Toronto. I think I'm fine with where the bullpen is right now. They've added a few different arms over the course of the offseason, but I think it's also fair to expect some of those pieces out of that bullpen to be better in 2025. Most notably, the closer. But guys, the bats are just in a bad place. Brian Reynolds has been a steady hand, but he'll give you what he's been giving you for the last few seasons, give or take. Maybe the numbers start to tick a little bit down. O'Neal Cruz still has yet to reach the full potential at the plate, but he turned in a better 2024 than most will remember because of everything that was going on with him defensively. It was, hey, can this guy play shortstop? Should we just have this guy DH? Oh, we're going to move him to center field. All of that stuff. Do we really trust, or is it fair to trust Joey Bart to be as good as he was again? The third baseman that was signed to a long-term deal has the back of a 60-year-old, maybe a 70-year-old, I don't know. Kiner Falefa will hit just fine. I'm not really worried about him. Kutch will probably see more of a decline, but he will still be one of their better offensive players, which is not a good thing. Do you get 2023 Jack Sawinski or 2024 Jack Sawinski? Spencer Horowitz is the unknown, and we seemingly have to bank on him as fans on being a good and consistent player. But the Pirates had a chance to add one player, one legitimate player, and immediately become a true player in the NL Central. This division is there for the taking. It's not like it was 10 years ago when St. Louis won over 100 games and the Pirates won 98 and the Cubs won 97. This division isn't like that anymore. None of the teams are that good. But every year, this time of the year, some of us will tell ourselves that some random guy on the roster will be a breakout star, and it almost never happens. And if you have played second base at some point, the Pirates may sign you next. So look out for a call from Ben Cherington. They may even ask Neil Walker to get out of the broadcast booth this season to play at some point. Joel, have you ever played second base? Little League, maybe?
They put you at second? A couple reps a long time ago, so maybe my number will be called too.
Yeah, I played second base. I think I was like 11 or 12. I pretty much played everywhere, I feel, when I played baseball growing up. I didn't play after like age 14, but I don't think there was a single position at one time or another that I didn't play for at least like one game. Even shortstop, I think I played one game. I didn't play catcher as much as you may expect, given my body frame. I pitched for a couple of seasons. I played first and third. I played everywhere in the outfield, even center field. And I was never, you know, I wasn't Juan Pierre out there. I wasn't exactly a speed demon. But at one point or another, I was out there in center field. I played at second base a good bit, too. Maybe they'll call me up. Who knows? But it's hard to be overly excited outside of their starting pitching in what the Pirates did this offseason. Even for me, who is a Hope Springs Eternal, glass half full type of guy, it's tough. But I hope they prove me wrong. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. You can also hit us up on Twitter at 937TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up, Joel's pick. Joel picks what we talk about in the next segment. Then we will have a Pit Hoops preview with George Michalowski coming up after 8 o'clock, leading us into Pit Hoops at 8:30. Panthers against the Tar Heels tonight. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Football with you for about 10 more minutes tonight as the Pitt Panthers host North Carolina. Tonight we have to get into pregame coverage at 8:30. tip-off between the Panthers and the Tar Heels at 9 o'clock. To help us preview that game, we go out to the fan hotline and welcome in George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. He covers college hoops there. George, even though it's not the same North Carolina team that maybe we remember as kids or even a handful of years ago in the national championship game, this still feels like it would be a pretty big, impactful win for the Pitt Panthers in 2025.
It would, Donnie. It would. I mean, this team is battling for an NCAA tournament spot. They've played some really good teams. I mean, you look at the record, it doesn't stand out, but North Carolina is a hell of a group. They're talented. They've got five stars on the roster. They've got a reigning, you know, conference player of the year with R.J. Davis coming back. I mean, he is still a star player, and we've seen him against Pitt countless times now light it up. So they've still got plenty of talent. They play really fast. They score a ton of points. So it's going to be a real challenge for Pitt, and I think if they can pull it off, it'll be a real valuable win on their resume come March.
I don't know how early is too early for people to look into all of the bracketology stuff. I don't like to dip into it until we get into the new year. I mean, you, given what you do, you've probably been looking since the season started, which if I was in your position, I would be doing the same thing. But we're almost to February now and nearly to the final full month of the college hoops regular season, which is pretty hard to believe. Lenardi has Pitt as a 10 seed to play St. John's in the East region. That would be an interesting old school Big East matchup. St. John's with Rick Pitino, who is beating up on Georgetown right now. Do you think that's a fair billing for how the Panthers have been so far?
I do. I thought that Pitt was a team that was looking like they could earn a 5-6 seed in the tournament and be comfortably in the field. Four losses is going to do that to you. Four straight losses is going to do that to you. Now, the Duke loss, obviously, Duke is Duke. We all thought coming out of that game, who were on the team a lot, like Duke was more impressive than Pitt disappointing in that game, I thought. But you lose those games to Florida State. You lose to Louisville at home. You don't want to drop those contests if you're Pitt looking to make the tournament. Now people are kind of skeptical. So I do think they're still in the field. I talked about it with Joe and Bob earlier this week. I think this team controls its own destiny. I know we love to throw that around in sports. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I've been looking at bracketology since, I'd say, early December when the net rankings came out. Pitt actually debuted at number 5 in the country in those, so everyone was all hyped up. But, look, man, they got to win games like tonight. They've got to take care of business, obviously, against the lower half of the ACC. But after losing those four, their record is 1-6 right now in Quad 1. They've got to prove to people that they can win big competitive games.
How does Pitt look in some of those other key ratings when it comes to that time in March when you're hoping to hear your name called?
Man, I think pretty solid. Like I said, 1-6 in Quad 1 doesn't stand out, but I think last year Pitt fans would remember, like, a loss kept them out of the field, and according to a lot of people that predict these things, predict the brackets. So they lost to Missouri last year, totally killed their chances. This year they're undefeated in Quad 2, Quad 3, and Quad 4. They rank around 30 to 35 in KenPom, Bartorvik, and Net, all those key metrics. The predictive metrics seem to like Pitt. They like Pitt tonight. Pitt's a 2.5-point favorite over Carolina. So it still seems like Pitt has a solid resume. I mean, you can't say enough about that win at Ohio State. That will be a Quad 1 win. And then the dominant win over West Virginia, who's become a really solid team. So they picked up some early season boosts to this resume, and that's really going to help them. And honestly, arguably more importantly, they didn't lose any cupcakes early in the year. So we've seen that in the beginning of the Capel era, but they figured it out. They handled business this year. They made the schedule a little bit tougher, and it's paying its dividends right now.
Just as a side note, still looking at the Lenardi bracketology, he has one of the first four matchups, Ohio State and North Carolina. That would be that would have to be one of the most viewed games just based on fan bases that the first four has ever seen.
Oh my gosh, it's nuts. I mean, he's got Indiana, I saw Dayton, like some of these fan bases that are on the bubble right now, Xavier, Georgia, Oklahoma. I mean, maybe not a basketball school in Oklahoma, but like you said, these fan bases, man, some high profile programs. And it, I mean, to me, that means a lot. Like, I know Georgia isn't a basketball powerhouse. I know Oklahoma isn't necessarily a basketball powerhouse, but these teams, Texas, North Carolina, Ohio State, being on the bubble, like, this is the NIL era we're talking about, Donnie. Like, these teams are supposed to have money, and they haven't performed as well as they should have this year, and the leagues are getting tougher, so it's going to be really interesting. But right now, I mean, I love how the bubble looks in terms of high-profile teams. It's almost entirely, you know, big program, like high major programs that are playing with a lot of money, I'll say, in this day and age.
You bring up the NIL era. You bring up some teams that should be better because they have the money to throw around. One of them is North Carolina. What has been among their biggest issues this season? Why aren't they the same old UNC?
So, again, like, their losses, if you look at their schedule, they lost by 3 to Kansas. I mean, they lost a couple heartbreakers to Michigan State, some of these other really, really good teams. So I'm not totally out on North Carolina like some national people are. But their downfall has been their front court. I think the North Carolina fan base really wanted Hubert Davis to go out and get a big man in the portal. And they didn't really bring in anyone too strong that's been emphatic down low, I should say, so far this year. They obviously have R.J. Davis. They have a great point guard in Elliot Cadeau. They have a five-star who I absolutely love, Ian Jackson, who can you know, shoot the skin off the ball. So I think they have a really solid team. I still think they're extremely talented. Like I said, they score a ton of points. They're second in the ACC in scoring. This team is going to look really good tonight against Pitt, more likely than not. And I think they still have a shot to make the tournament. But I think that front court has been something that fans wanted to see them, you know, improve on. And then obviously closing out close games. It's a age-old, you know, debate. Like, how can you close out these games? I mean, does it prove you're a bad coach or a good coach? You can't win the tight ones. You know, so even though they've been playing these great teams in non-conference, like, they didn't come out on top of hardly any of them. So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out with UNC down the stretch. I mean, another one, Indiana being on the bubble, man. That's one of the, from what I've seen, one of the top five, top ten NIL budgets in the country. So some of these schools have a lot of work to do on the court.
When it comes to Pitt's new additions this season, whether it be through the portal or just a freshman that is getting time, who do you think the best addition has been?
Oh, man. I mean, it's going to upset a lot of people who box score watch and who have watched some of Pitt's recent games and not watched the beginning of the season. But Cam Corin, I think he's been a learning experience for Jeff Capel and his staff. I think it's been a learning experience for Cam on both sides of the ball. I do think he can get a lot better rebounding the basketball, boxing out that area of the game. But offensively, man, he offers a lot to this team. And if we're asking, you know, if the question is which newcomer has been the best, I think it's a no-brainer with Thorin. Damian Dunn's been good, but he's been hurt. So, I mean, that's just not fair to him. I'd like to see him take a more, you know, assertive role. He's shooting 44% from three. Like, that's a real weapon on your team. But he's only made 16 on the year. Again, he was hurt, but you know, I'd like to see that volume go up a bit. But Cam Corin offensively, man, he does a lot for you, even in the games when it's really frustrating watching him not box out. I think he really is an upgrade at the five for Pitt this year. He allows him to do a lot of things offensively. But I still think, Donnie, I still think they're lacking that volume shooter to really scare teams. I'm looking for someone to step up and be that third scorer alongside Lowe and Leggett. They're kind of, you know, the co-Batmans right now. Last year, Hinson was Batman and, you know, Bub was Robin with Jalen. But right now they've got two Batmans, I'll say, that are leading the way. And that could be fine. That could work out. But you want one of these third guys, Damian Dunn, Zach Austin, one of the Diaz Grants, to really step up. And I'm looking for that tonight.
George, how do you see this game going? And who is the star of the game?
I see it, you know, going into a high-scoring battle. I see both teams clearing 80 points, honestly. North Carolina likes to get out and run. I think Pitt likes that too. I mean, you saw against Syracuse, Pitt didn't really want to play in the half court offensively. They wanted to push the ball. I think both teams are going to want to push it tonight. So it's going to be a track meet. I think Pitt comes out on top in a tight one. I'd probably take North Carolina plus 2.5 if I'm a betting man. But I do think Pitt's going to get the edge with a good crowd behind them. It seems like it's pretty packed in there right now. I just got to the Pete. So I think Pitt comes out on top. As for a star, I mean, it's easy. It's an easy pick, but Jalen Lowe, man, after watching that second half against Syracuse, he had one turnover that whole game. It was one of his best games of the year, I thought,
and he really took over. He was just in the crowd throughout the second half, hitting big shot after big shot. And I've been critical of his shot selection, especially his runners, his floaters that he shoots. But he was making them all down the stretch against Syracuse. So I'm looking for Lowe to have another big game tonight.
George Michalowski, check out his stuff at Pittsburgh Sports Now. George, as always, thanks for taking the time.
Yep, thanks, Donnie.
There we go. So George has Pitt winning in a high-scoring affair. I would love to see Pitt win, and I think the Panthers do get it done tonight. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Want to thank the folks who joined the conversation tonight. A thank you to Jeff Hathorn and George Michalowski as well. Joel Nelson, great work as always. Behind the glass, Pitt and North Carolina pregame coming up next. Tip-off at 9 o'clock. Donnie Football signing off on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.